Every commerce platform launch comes with the same marketing claims. New, cloud native, AI first, agent ready. Most of the time, these words don't survive contact with a developer. My guest today is Leonard Stevens, VP of Product Management for Agentforce Commerce at Salesforce, the team that just shipped Storefront.next that just went public. We're here to ask what every commerce architect wants to know. What's actually different about the platform when looking under the hood? Is it something new, or is it just a wrapper on SFRA that exists today? We bring Leonard in to answer these questions without the marketing layer. Welcome to the Watson Weekly. All right. Welcome, Leonard Stevens, to the podcast. Before we get into Storefront Next itself, tell me a little bit more about what you own at Salesforce, Agentforce Commerce, of course, and when you got brought into the project.
Yeah, for sure. First of all, thank you for having me on. So at Salesforce, I own obviously Storefront Next, but also its related services. So Storefront Next to us is more than just a storefront. It's kind of the culmination of a new generation of thinking about what commerce means from a storefront perspective, but also from the services that touch that. So that's the developer experience part of the story, or, you know, whether it's MCP or CLI or some of the skills that are being created to help support that. But also diving into parts of the underlying architecture just to make sure that's all supported through what is the storefront, which of course then, you know, pulls from other aspects of the commerce ecosystem here, including, you know, merchandising and agentic merchandising and other pieces. It all kind of gets surfaced through storefront. But storefront's my, and those and the directly connected services are my main purview. Yeah. So, you know, how I got here. So I'm somewhat new to Salesforce, but not new to the ecosystem or even new to Salesforce as a partner. I've spent the last, I think, 18 plus years, maybe 19 now, working with the platform as well as other platforms, but kind of starting since the early days of the platform pre-Salesforce's involvement. So I live and breathe commerce. I've always seen commerce from the perspective of the customer, right? Being on the front lines and seeing what they're going through and seeing that evolution happen. And then there was a certain point where, you know, Salesforce said, hey, let's do that. Let's listen to what's happening on the front lines and let's pull that into the product and see what we can do.
Got it. And I mean, clearly, I think Salesforce, anyone who's familiar with the Salesforce ecosystem is that they like shipping a new way to do things every, you know, between 2 years and 6 years, whether we kind of go, how far we go back to like pipeline and controllers and JavaScript and site genesis and all, you know, we can go really far back if we want to, and I'm sure you could more than me. Describe to me what Storefront Next is and is not compared to those evolutions that the broader commerce ecosystem that might be slightly familiar with Salesforce wants to know about it.
Yeah, that's a great question. The story does go really far back. I mean, there's so much that's happened in the tech world. I mean, I started out as a Java developer back in the day when, you know, Sun Microsystems was a thing, and so you see, it's a lot of it's just about the journey of where technology has gone, and this latest iteration is exactly about that. It's taking it to the next step into the future of what we're seeing from a technical stack, but also from a customer facing experience. So from a technical stack, it's really about unifying around some of the commonalities that have become dominant in the marketplace, you know, with React and ShadCN and Tailwind, etc. But also making sure that we're, you know, picking the right technologies that are ready, enabled, and kind of usable by this new agentic coding experience. And so that's what's driven some of the changes as well, is to look at it and say, where is this going? Where is the agentic coding experience going? How do we align with that? I think where it's different is that it's more focused on looking at the developer ecosystem, looking at where AI is going and saying, how do we be a part of that? Rather than being its own kind of technical path, like it might have been with site genesis pipelines and controllers. Granted, that was a long time ago, you know, when the competition was very different. And that time, it was quite groundbreaking to take a different approach that really provided these kind of guardrails, if you will, to keep a customer in a good place when going through a complex e-commerce project.
So is it built as a new framework? How far does a new plumbing go, and how far does it build on the old, like new foundation versus old foundation, those sorts of things?
It's still based on our managed runtime, our MRT, right? Which is the layer that's kind of hosting this it's almost, if you think of it as a headless surface that's hosted in-house, if you will, right? Everything's accessed through APIs.
Yeah.
So where you're kind of reaching back into stuff that already exists is through this SCAPI layer, which is our commerce API that allows any surface, whether it's Storefront Next or you have an app or you want to build your own headless experience hosted elsewhere, kind of works through this particular surface. So that surface is there. You know, it's obviously been in the works for some time, but some beefing up of that has happened as well, just to make sure we have all the touch points on that surface readily available to not only to Storefront Next, but from there. And so the great thing about it too is if you're looking at this as a new storefront saying, hey, maybe we want to move to this and we're an existing customer, or maybe we're a new customer, you still do have the underlying data that's there, right? Whether that's your catalog and your price and promotions. And one thing I've learned with working with customers for so many years is that's always a challenge to get your data sorted out and get your promotions. And that stays, right? So you get to continue to work with that data there. It's just being surfaced now through this enhanced API layer that's making it available through Storefront Next, running on our own MRT, under our own guarantees and uptimes, et cetera.
So essentially, all the existing stuff is still there. You may not access it as a first-class citizen or need to anymore in this sort of agentic world. You might interact with these new services that you're exporting.
Yeah, and that's part of that whole headless 360 view, if you think of it, right? We're making these tried and true, you know, enterprise trusted services and all of the experience that goes into building out those services, whether it's the understanding of e-commerce, the understanding of e-commerce logistics, understanding the type of data that's being worked with, but making it available through new surfaces. And that includes, like I said, of course, Storefront Next as a great starting point.
So it's less of a migration. Obviously, someone's storefront, as it exists today, you don't need to do anything. But if you want to build new sorts of agentic workflows, you would access these new services rather than the existing APIs. Is that fair?
Yeah, on the migration topic, if you wanted to stand up a new storefront, you could do that today with Storefront Next in clicks. You know, you'd go into your business manager, type out your new storefront name and click next. The next thing you know, you have a storefront. And it's making use of the data that's already there in those, you know, potential backend synchronization points for moving your orders back and forth, et cetera. So you now have, you know, a new storefront that's kind of in almost parallel, right, with what you've built before. So I don't think of it as the migration in the sense that you're having to cut over from one platform and deal with the big switch that's happening. It's a much more, you know, much more progressive path that's been outlined.
Got it. So you're talking about creating a new storefront within Business Manager, but if you want the existing services, your existing website to take advantage of the new set of API services, can you do that with the existing container? Or do you need this new container and then you call it from the old one? Or like, how does that work?
I mean, the APIs are available to anybody. So if you say you have an existing site, an SFRA, I mean, you're probably building it and you've probably already built out what you have on there and you may not be wanting to change that. But if you had another surface that's looking to access it, whether it's an app or a kiosk or some other experience,
right,
then you can take advantage of those services that are available, as well as, of course, the new storefront taking advantage of the services. So it's really a place where multiple sources can come in and access that data through those services.
Makes sense. In terms of, you're a developer, and obviously a lot of this is sort of like in the SI community, which you're very familiar with, what can they expect differently from Salesforce now with these new capabilities as opposed to a year ago?
Yeah, I've been working a lot with, of course, with the partner ecosystem. Knowing so many people in the space, I get reached out on, and we have a lot of partner enablement that we're doing. Mm-hmm. So we've been doing a lot of calls as well as providing playbooks. And I think the biggest challenge is the question of, you know, how are you providing that value to your customers, right? Mm-hmm. Because we now have much quicker ways to do things, a much more prescribed way to stand something up that's high converting right out of the box. It's highly performant right out of the box. It doesn't require as much effort on stand up. So the real challenge to everybody, and I don't think of this as like a negative challenge, but as an opportunistic challenge, is how do we look at what our customers want to do to drive their business, rather than focusing so much on stand up and the initiation and the kind of the technical hurdles to getting something moving. There's a great prescriptive approach to start with, and then you can work with your partners on how you modify that. Of course, one way to it's changed a lot in the way they're working is through, you know, agentic coding now, which because of the stack that we've chosen, it's much, much more connected to where that's going. And we've invested a lot into MCP. We've also upgraded a CLI for managing deployment, for, you know, pulling down the code releases, et cetera. It's all very, very seamless now, as well as a large repository of skills. So it understands where to go and how to perform these kind of repeatable actions. It's been quite incredible what we've heard from the partner ecosystem. They're like, we're not struggling on, you know, doing the basics. It's like we're getting straight into building out what we want to do for our customer.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I feel like everyone is a developer now and automating things in Claude Code, and you have a product background. Like, you don't need an engineer anymore, Claude, or whoever is your engineer.
Yeah, even from the product side, like within Salesforce, you know, the product management team is like, let me just prototype that out for you. Right. Here's the starting point.
Don't worry about the details. Exactly. I'll fix it for you.
A lot less ambiguity. And, you know, that also works with design systems. Of course, we have our starting point templates, if you will, which I don't love that word because it sounds like it's such a crude construct. Right. But it's really this fully built out, you know, industry vertical, if you will, that then, you know, has Figma's associated with it. So you can modify those, export the tokens from there, and immediately get started running at that point.
Tax compliance is one of those things that sounds manageable until it isn't. You add a new channel, you expand to a new state, you start shipping internationally. Suddenly, the complexity catches up with you. Tariffs, duties, VAT, jurisdiction rules vary everywhere. And a customer just got hit with an unexpected charge when their order arrived. That's not just a compliance problem. It's a brand experience issue. Avalara is how I solve this for clients. I've been recommending them for years. When we help clients select new providers, Avalara is always the call. Works right inside Shopify, BigCommerce, WooCommerce, wherever your brand lives. Accurate tax at checkout, visibility into tariffs and duties before the order ships, and fewer surprises for your customers. If you're scaling into new channels or new markets, don't let the tax layer slow you down. Check out what Avalara has built specifically for growing brands at avalara.watsonweekly.com. So let's talk about that. I do think themes are an interesting topic because the front end of commerce in the traditional web mobile sense, and you can throw apps in there too, is important to merchants. And it's a source of struggle because I think you saw some people really embrace headless the right way and come up with a workflow that works for them. And then some people embraced it in a way that got very developer heavy. And so merchants had to go through IT cycles. Clearly, we're in a little bit different area. We've learned some lessons. And given Salesforce history, they tend to produce like mobile reference sites. Is this a new updated master theme for Salesforce or a set of master themes? Or is it something, should I think about it something else? I'm not saying that's the only thing, but is it one of the things?
I'll describe it and you tell me where it kind of fits into where you view it. It's truly a starting point that's something to aspire to, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're starting with retail RCG as kind of course, the bread and butter of the space. And then we're expanding out into other areas where it's more than just a theme. It's industry expertise that goes into building something out for a particular market type, whether that's cosmetics and beauty or furniture, right? Like what goes into needing to understand how to address those markets. So that's what these parts are. So it's really it's a complete storefront for a particular industry type that gets you a running start versus, you know, what it used to be, you know, kind of referred to as a template where it's got your PDP, it's got your PLP, but is it really something that you're going to aspire to? Do you have to put a lot of work into making it your own? But what we never wanted to take away from is having this aspirational, perfectly usable, right out of the box experience that then prevents you from taking it someplace that's truly bespoke. So we're really keeping, that's kind of where our sweet spot is. We understand we've obviously had the enterprise customers where they'd like to modify and make things their own. But we also wanted to add an ease of use so that you can get started on that faster. And for those customers who don't want to make so many changes, you know, just stick with it. Challenge yourself to look at it and say, hey, this might be better than what we have today. We've really put some effort into this to make it truly an industry competitor. So that's the way we're looking at it now. It's something you pick your, almost turnkey starting point. And then from there, you're still allowed unlimited customization. If you want to customize checkout down to every detail, you can do that. But there's a framework to start from.
Got it. That makes sense. Yeah, it sounds like it's a starting point, but it feels like there's these reusable components you can pull into your current surfaces and implementation. Is that fair?
Yeah, there is. You know, everything's been componentized in several ways. I think you're probably referring to page designer components, which is now a embedded piece of the experience. You know, it's not something you have to link in. It starts out with it. You know, you do your click-based setup, and you've got page designer running. If you choose to use that, you can create these components, as well as something that we've introduced called content blocks. So they can be used anywhere on the site in a completely reusable fashion. And it also ties into the philosophy we have for our app framework, for ISVs or partners who want to build on it. It's been much more modularized to say, you know, we have, you know, UI targeting components now to say, okay, we want it to show up in this place at checkout or this place in PDP. You don't have to, embed it in that location. Now you can target those areas and just have it show up in those surfaces.
So I'm hearing not only are you building new enablement for agents and by default agencies and SIs, and you also, it sounds like you rebuilt your templating, your theme engine. Is that right? It sounds like it's been re-architected.
It has been. It absolutely has been. You know, it's a back to the, I don't want to call it the back to a drawing board approach, but it's looking at where things are going and say, how do we meet our customers there more quickly by looking at the areas that we need to re-engineer. Of course, like I said earlier, we're not taking away from the enterprise, 21 plus Black Fridays and counting and all the things that we've done, but we're looking at the surfaces where customers want to interact and say, how do we componentize this? How do we make this a little bit easier to move areas around, change surfaces, change the interaction points, but still have a great starting point? And that's been looked at from, like you said, the ISVs, they can install apps on the storefront now, as well as the day-to-day merchandising task being done through Page Designer, just making that life and that job much easier.
I want to get back to agents for a second, because obviously it's all anyone wants to talk about. I think we know everyone is sort of more familiar with MCP now. What are the set of services that you can expose to agent that can discover very quickly, get going, really then use that as a front end for your LLM to just go to town, just do whatever you want to do. Beyond that, what other capabilities, and just in terms of payments, APIs, tools, what other tooling do you have that's designed for agent?
Yeah, of course, we obviously have, you know, things like the agent shopper. So that has its own whole experience that can be built out through clicks as part of that, tied into the kind of e-commerce experience. Another agentic surface is the merchandising world. So there's a lot of new agentic lifts being introduced there. We've looked at every click, every minute spent on day-to-day tasks and said, what can we do to make that a little bit easier? Whether that's surfacing product readiness scores to let you know, oh, did you miss something, right? The number of times I've had to have, calls with customers because they launched a product that was missing a piece of critical information.
Got
right?
It.
This helps catch that, as well as helping set up, promotions, providing insights. So just really, really looking at that surface and saying, this is an area where a lot of, agentic communication and help can drive that. Of course, we talked about MCP and some of the areas that we're unlocking on that particular surface. So we're looking at all these components, even all the way out to looking at, channels and channel selling, whether that's through supporting UCP and making that available to, of course, Google or OpenAI. And UCP is kind of the leading standard or the winning standard at this point. So we've obviously been on the forefront of making sure that's available for all our customers too. So there's many ways to think of agentic from the coding perspective, to the way the shopper interacts, right, which is our customer's customer, to the day-to-day merchandising tasks and product discovery.
Got it. And so it sounds like there are definitely ways that you can interact with it from your agent and surface a lot of this information that's in the database or you could have done before, but it would have been much harder. From the user's point of view, for someone who still logs into the UI, obviously, is that something, are you providing a, I'll call it a chat service for simplicity, but Claude Code is hardly just a chat surface. Are you providing an interactive view there, or is that more a layer deeper reserved for the developers?
It's not. I mean,
I'm talking about like product readiness you mentioned, like where does that appear, that kind of thing.
Exactly. That appears. It's not a developer tool thing. Like, I mean, the word I've used before is quiet AI, right? Where it's doing stuff and it's helping you, but it's not this loud experience where you need to dive into an agentic world. And we're also looking at other areas, you know, talking a little bit about roadmap. Like, what can we do in terms of when you're setting up your template? Like, we have ties into Agentforce Vibes, or, you know, our in-house, agentic coding tool set to have, you know, prompts kind of flowing back and forth and be doing things behind the scenes for you to help automate some of that setup. And you may not always know that you're interacting with something that's agentic. And then, of course, there's the very on your nose kind of agentic experience when you're hopping into Cloud Code or doing something and modifying, you know, a storefront or one of the other interaction points. But the idea is to have it in many different surfaces and drive value more than drive the idea that you now know you're working with an AI experience.
Clearly, all of this is, we talked in the outset about your long history with commerce, your long history with Salesforce, even as an outsider. Now you're under the tent before you were outside of the tent. What's hard about transforming a product like this that people might not appreciate? And what is one of the harder calls you've had to make?
I think it's, you know, you're looking at, you know, in this particular, you know, product and space, you're looking at it as a long legacy, a long, successful, exciting legacy. And so there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of history that in some ways you need to almost rewrite, right? You need to look at it and say, okay, we're here. This is how things have been done. This is how things were done with your customers. But let's take a look at something new, even with storefront, right? One of the things we had to address is, well, if there's a new storefront out there, what does it mean for everybody else, right? So those are some of the questions to say, like, how do we create a path that's not, you know, forceful, but that's encouraging to say, you've been here for a while, things are going great, but maybe there's some more uplift. And that's not, you know, on the surface, it sounds like a, you know, an easier challenge, but it's, you know, easier said than done. You really have to think of all the aspects and all the reasons why someone had been using it a certain way. But I think at the same time, that's having that history is also, I think, what makes us so powerful, right? Having all this rich history of how different businesses work, how different consumers operate. It's not a one size fits all world. We always want to make sure we maintain that ability to have different journeys and different ways of interacting by our brands. And so merging those together, I think is, I'd say that's probably a tricky part. But
yeah,
I feel like we found a really good place to be.
That's great. And I think one of the things I like what I'm hearing about the fact there's not like a cutover. I mean,
right.
I think we've all seen those in the platform history and no one wants to go back there.
Well, I have. I certainly have. I haven't just worked with Salesforce, I've worked with other platforms too. And there's always been at some point where there's these cutovers and just seeing the pain it brings to the brands. It's just like, why would you do that? There's better ways to do it. It's 2026.
Right.
We can find a way to support, nurture, as well as provide paths.
Last question for you, although this has been exciting so far. If you're a developer or architect sort of looking at this and trying to evaluate Storefront Next, is this for me? This for my agency? What's going to let me do that I couldn't do before? What's the one signal that should be to them, like, I guess, from Salesforce saying, like, we're thinking about this differently than we have in the
past? I mean, there's a lot of transparency that we have now where we're getting our customers really involved in the roadmap. We obviously have a pilot program for this, you know, that's kind of closed now since we're moving into the next phase of it, early access. And we're just working really closely with our customers to listen, to hear, you know, and I think also the way we look at our teams too, right? Looking at the focus from a little bit from the outside and saying, what are we hearing from the outside and how do we bring that in? So I think from that point of view, we're very aligned with our customers on where we want to go and how to bring them along more than being, here's something new, find a way to work with it. With that, I think it gives a lot of assurance to say, this is a real good path to look at. If you're looking at, you know, taking another step towards either towards performance or creating a new bespoke experience or understanding some of the agentic unlocks or through UCP or also just looking at different customers, right? Like, we have a lot of customers with many brands and sometimes the brands are a little bit smaller and they want to stand up something quickly, do something more experimental. Now that space is available and say, okay, you can do this. And then you can also grow into something that you know you can still modify every aspect of it. You can still go in and create a bespoke checkout at some point, but you don't have to necessarily start out there, right? You can start out in a place that's a little more safe, a little more cautious, and a little more quick.
That's great. I mean, I'm excited about hearing more from what's next, but I appreciate you coming in on the program and explaining it to some of our listeners.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. I could talk for hours about this. It's an exciting space, not just for us, but just in the industry and where everything is going.
Awesome. Thanks again, Leonard.
Yeah, thank you.